We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A friend of ours was helping to deliver meals, or providing meals, feeding people who are homeless at an institution. And he was kind of taken aback by a remark that one of the people who came to eat made. Our friend said, "Good morning, how are you?" And the man said, "I'm blessed." He thought, that's interesting. This is a man who has nothing, no money to his name. He needs to come for a free meal. He's homeless, and he's blessed. Well, if that sounds strange, the things that Jesus said in today's gospel sound even stranger. Jesus was beginning a long sermon, and we hear that the disciples are there, and then later on we hear that there were crowds of people, so he's got a big audience. And the first part of the sermon is called the Beatitudes. That comes from a Latin word meaning bless. Now, the people that Jesus calls blessed are what gets troublesome here. And I'll put a face on them. Blessed are the poor, not in material goods. Blessed are the poor in spirit. These are people that have no hope. They are spiritless. They're not like the man who came, you know, for the meal and said, "I'm blessed." These are people who have no hope. And I think of that little girl, Banna, I think her was her name. She tweeted from Aleppo as the civil war was raging in her city. They were trapped. She tweeted about how their apartment, I think, had been bombed. They had to move to another one. She luckily got out later on. But when she was in that middle of that war and Aleppo was being torn apart, she had no hope. So Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed, he says, are those who mourn. And this is not just a one-time thing, but it's the people who are in constant mourning. And I think of Tom Lake. He was featured again on the newspapers on the front page a few days ago. He was the police officer who was shot while he was in his SUV, and the bullets went into his face, and miraculously, he lost no function at all. Everything is intact. He even looks good, but he wakes up and relives that experience. And he said in the article, "I don't know if I can go back to being a police officer. I don't know who I am anymore." He is in a constant state of mourning, and yet Jesus calls him blessed. Blessed, Jesus says, are the meek. And there he's, you know, we can think of meek and mild and gentle, but we can also think of doormats, people who have no power over them, their lives, who are walked on. And I think of people we visited when Keith and I were in the Holy Land a long time ago in a Palestinian refugee camp. They said they would live and die there. They had no land. They had no way to get out. They were powerless. They were the meek. And yet, blessed are the meek. And finally, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I think of the families of people who have had family members killed this last year in the city of St. Louis. In 2016, there were 188, and the same in 2015. And in 2015, two-thirds of those murders were never solved. Those people wait for justice, but it does not come. And yet, Jesus says, "Blessed are you." Now, how can Jesus talk about these people, the girl from Aleppo, the police officer trying to find himself again, the person caught in a refugee camp, the person who's mourning the loss of a loved one and can't resolve it? How can Jesus call them blessed? Well, I think there might be three ways to look at their blessing. The first is that the word bless is a complicated word. It doesn't just mean an emotion, a way of thinking. In fact, scholars have said that maybe we should translate that word to mean honored. How honored are those who are meek? How honorable are those who mourn? And then in that case, you can see the people don't feel honored, but it is God speaking here. When God looks at them, God sees them as honorable. How different from our world today, where might makes right and success is everything and power is important. I mean, and how often do we go by someone who's begging along the highway or one of the roads? And, you know, we have pity. We have pity for them. And I find myself judging them, too. You know, well, maybe they're on drugs, or why did they get to this situation? What bad decisions did they make? If they can't take care of their children, why did they have so many? You know, as if I've never made any bad decisions. I've heard it said the only difference between someone who is destitute and someone who is in the middle class is not that the destitute people made bad decisions and the middle class people never do. It's just that we have a safety net. If they make a bad decision, they can easily lose their job, lose their apartment, and they are on the street. So God is saying, these people are honorable. Listen to them. Learn from them. Well, that could be a blessing, but, you know, the people aren't getting the blessing yet, are they? But the second blessing for these people that are down and out is that God has a plan to make their lives different and better. They will inherit the earth, he says. Oh, that would be good for Palestinian refugees. They'd like to have some land. They will inherit the kingdom of God. They will be comforted. They will be satisfied. That's the plan. Some time ago, Keith and I were visiting our son, and for fun, we went to a house that was being sold. We went with a contractor. And we looked at this house, and it was a mess. The family had left, you know, and the walls had crayon on them. The carpets were all stained. They had tried to start to fix up the basement, and there was insulation hanging down. And I said to the contractor, I said, "This is depressing." And he said, "Oh, my guys could fix this up in no time." He had a plan. He looked at something that was a mess, and he could see it to be beautiful. God has a plan for the people who are down and out. So that's a blessing. But so far, they haven't received this plan, and that brings us to the third blessing and to the last four beatitudes. Jesus describes four more classes of people who are blessed, and they are much different than the first. Blessed, he says, are the merciful. And there I think of an employer who gives an employee a second and third chance, even though he or she doesn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. And he's not talking here about people that push impure thoughts out of their hearts. He's talking about people who have a focus on God. And we know people like that, don't we? Whose faith is the guiding force. It's the background music to their lives. And when they make decisions, it's always with that sense that God loves them and they want to love back. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I think of the children that were up here. I can imagine one of them being in an argument with a friend and then stopping and saying, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And the argument ends. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And I can see a teenager who is willing to lose face and maybe even friends to stand up for someone who's being bad-mouthed, to have that courage. Now, that's a whole different group of people, isn't it? People who are merciful and who stand up and have courage, people who are peacemakers, people who have a focus on God. These aren't the down-and-out people. These are the followers of Jesus. We are these people. And so you see, what these people are doing is carrying out God's plan to raise up the first group. And as we do that, as we provide this comfort and this help and this strength that God so wants to give the first group, we are blessed too. In fact, Jesus even uses the word reward. Ours is the kingdom of heaven, and of course that is in the future, but it is also here. Because the greatest reward that we have as we carry out God's plan to lift up those who are downtrodden is this. We know that without God's love, without God's forgiveness, without a sense that God is with us through thick and thin, we would be like those downtrodden eternally. we would be in mourning. We would know be without a purpose. We would be suffering. We would be without hope and without love. But God came to us. Came to us in Jesus, and Jesus became all the things he's asking us to do. He was merciful. He was the one who was courageous. He was focused on the will of God, and he suffered for us. And so the blessing, the greatest blessing in helping God carry out God's plan is this. We bring joy to the God who rescued us, who loves us, and who calls us the honored. And that is a beautiful reward and a great blessing. Amen.